Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Larry Richard with Anchorman, Paul Rasmussen, and we got the breaking news late in our morning show yesterday that the Heron Avenue Bridge was going to be closed, an emergency closure due to issues with support beams.
Actually, we got the notification from the city minutes after the closing was to take place, which was 8 o'clock.
So that said, just add that to the list of bridges that have been closed. The one, I think it's Schenley Park, is going to open next year. That's been closed for a couple of years now. There is no date on when this bridge will be reopened, but structural concerns had them close it immediately.
Right. This bridge was getting inspections every 6 months, and they found that the support piers, were deteriorating faster than they were thinking they would. So we have crumbling concrete and exposed steel, and they thought, no way. So they shut it down. Now, they were supposed to do a rehabilitation starting in 2028 to give you some idea of how far out they're working on these things. Still no word on the Panther Hollow Bridge, when that'll reopen.
And the Heron Avenue Bridge closure suggested detour by the city. And I'm looking at the map, Paul. So you, for those that don't know, this Heron Avenue Bridge crosses over the East Busway, takes you down from the Hill District area and Oakland, Polish Hill, and crosses over the river there. And now the posted detour takes you all the way down Bigelow Boulevard across the Bloomfield Bridge and then turn back around on Liberty Avenue to get to the same destination.
Can you imagine what the traffic situation is going to be like when they re-enter Liberty there?
Exactly.
Talk about 1,700 vehicles a day use the Heron Avenue Bridge.
So it's problematic for a lot of people because when you look at the detour, you go, okay, so the people will probably find a way to circumnavigate it, but there's no word on when this possibly could be repaired.
Yep. Now, the Panther Hollow Bridge is expected to open later this year. Also closed was the Charles Anderson Bridge not long ago, and they're expecting that to open next year. And here's the thing, Larry. What this underscores is the neglect of infrastructure, and not just in the city of Pittsburgh, but nationwide. It costs big money to replace bridges and roads. It costs big money to change out sewer systems and replace lead pipes. And then, of course, there's the day-to-day stuff like fire trucks and EMS equipment, etc.
So if you go back to the Fern Hollow Bridge, which collapsed, obviously everyone wants to avoid that. And Mayor Ed Gainey has said, look, I'm going to choose safety over safety first. And he said, I'll never regret putting public safety first. The Fern Hollow Bridge collapsed in January of 2022. And then since then, the next year, the city closed the Charles Anderson Memorial Bridge I mentioned, Schenley Park. Rehabilitation work began that fall and is expected to open sometime next year.
Right. And how long did it take for them to replace Fern Hollow? I mean, this was, they pulled out all the stops and got it done ASAP, right?
They got federal money. They got the full cooperation of all parties to make it happen. But it's pricey, and the city can't afford it. The county can't afford to replace all these bridges, you know, overnight. And then Panther Hollow Bridge in Schenley Park was closed. You mentioned that one because of steel truss concerns. In an April update last month, officials said the crews have inspected the span and have conducted a load rating analysis. We're waiting for what the plan is next month. And right now, add to the list the Heron Avenue Bridge closure.
One question I think that would be fair to ask of not only current Mayor Ed Gainey, but also incoming Mayor Corey O'Connor, and we'd like to ask this question of both of them. What can be done to speed up the timetable on these bridges?
Well, to your point, we have so many. City's been around a long time.
But I'm just talking about the three they've closed.
Right, just these three.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they got...
What kind of strings can we pull to get this, like we did similar to the Fern Hollow situation?
Well, while somebody has the president's ear when he's here tomorrow, say, hey, he's talking about steel while you're here.
Yeah, good idea, right?
Free up some money to fix these bridges. So the detour for the Heron Avenue Bridge is southbound traffic takes Liberty Avenue to Bloomfield Bridge to Bigelow Boulevard. So that's a big loop around.
Mm-hmm.
And then northbound, you go the opposite direction, obviously, through Bigelow to the Bloomfield Bridge, then back around to Liberty Avenue to get to the same spot.
It's not like we're not making progress. Every time I cross over the Neville Island Bridge, when I come down 79, if I go on that side on the way to work in the morning or home, I think, you know, it's great that they've just done this bridge. It's a complete rehabilitation of the Neville Island Bridge.
Remember, it took several years.
I mean, it was going on for a long time.
Through the S-bends. Yeah, that was a major hassle.
Yeah, but it's solid now, and that's something you want to feel. You want to feel confident, especially when you're going over a pretty good stretch of water high up, right?
Yes, and we have many of them. So if you have anxiety about crossing bridges, you have anxiety. Period.
No question about it. But again, circling back to what you quoted from the mayor about, you know, never feeling any regret about closing bridges for public safety. Certainly couldn't agree more with that.
Yeah, you don't want that on your hands.
Why would you rather be inconvenienced than hurt or worse?
It's a pain, but you can't argue with that part of it. All right, we're going to check in with Alan Gamble, speaking of the bridges and the roads. We'll see how it's going this morning
and
next.
The Parkway East especially.
Oh, man. And we'll keep you posted on breaking news, weather information, and crystal clear digital sound, AUDACY. It's free. And well worth having. Looking at this concert tonight, Post Malone and Jelly Roll.
They're calling it the kickoff of the summer concert season.
Yeah, and this one's at PNC Park. And then I mentioned George Strait and Chris Stapleton going to be at Acrisure on Saturday. George Strait is kind of like old school. He's pretty much at this point. How would you describe his impact on country music?
Well, let me put it this way. I was 21 years old, and I was the program and / music director at a station in Iowa City, Iowa, and we picked out and played his first record, and he's been turning out number one country hits since then, over 40 years. I guess he's taking a victory lap with this tour, if I get it right.
You know what? That's a great way to put it. But he is definitely a country music superstar.
And he's been relevant over multi-generations. He was relevant when country music sounded much different than it does today.
Which is really hard to do because things change so fast.
Also, his performances are real low-key. He just gets up and plays. There's not a show that goes on. People who are expecting more than that are not going to get it with George Strait.
But Chris Stapleton is an insanely talented songwriter and performer as well.
He's got to be one of my favorites.
It's a good combination.
Yeah. Chris Stapleton he's kind of like Carrie Underwood, I feel. He's even for the non-country music people.
So it's a good mix, to your point, Paul. And what about Post Malone or Jelly Roll? Have you?
I enjoy them too. I like both of them. I think when Jelly Roll first came on the scene, I was kind of like, is this guy all doom and gloom? And recently, I think we're seeing maybe a personal transition that's happening in his life, and it's translated through his like moods. He seemed really great. And then I love Post Malone, regardless of what he's putting out.
He seems to be quite a character too.
Yes.
And he's the one who has all the tattoos on his face. Mm-hmm. And then Jelly Roll has a bunch of tattoos on his face.
Yeah, they're both inked up pretty well.
Two peas in a pod.
That's what they should have done. Inked up at PNC Park tonight. Post Malone.
Truly.
But I think both of those acts bring tremendous energy to the shows that they do.
Agreed.
I mean, I would imagine that's the number one anticipation people have, is just to be around that kind of excitement and energy.
Yeah, PNC's a nice venue, too, for that. So, should be a good show tonight. Weather-wise, you might get a break for a change. Speaking of the weather, a new weather report not optimistic about the next 5 years. The World Meteorological Organization predicts there will be more record-breaking heat by 2030. There's an 80% chance we'll break another annual temperature record during that time. This will heighten the risk for wildfires, extreme weather, which we've seen here every year since 2015 has been the hottest on record so far. And you know what's coming up June 1st on Sunday is the start of hurricane season.
You'd have to bring that up
in the Atlantic. I know. And people, you know, they get anxious about it, and rightfully so. I talked to Elliot Felcioni the other day. He said it was 95 in Bradenton while we were looking at 55 degrees. I was literally in my car looking at the thermometer, and he goes, it's 95 here. I go, it's 55 here.
Speaking of which, Larry, by the way, back in my hometown, a high of 93 is scheduled on Saturday. And here that is so completely out of pattern.
Here we are.
What do you guys think about those highs?
It's not unusual for my hometown to get into the triple digits, but that's usually in July and August. We're talking June here. It'll drop back down into the 70s and 60s later in the week back home, but geez. It's going to be 87 there today.
Man, that's hot. I mean,
that's hot.
We just want it to be around 72. Can we just do that? Well, today, yes, we can do this. We've got one day, and then we are supposed to jump back to more normal temperatures like Monday, 73 and sunny. So I got a camping story for you. Aaron, you're a big camper with your husband, Vinny.
I can't say that now. It's been about 4 years. I am a camper.
You're a camper. Check this out, Paul. You'll love this. Two hikers in upstate New York managed to call 911 to report a third member of their party had died, except he didn't. They were just on hallucinogenic mushrooms and imagined it all. When the park ranger found them, he noticed they were, quote, in an altered mental state.
Oh, my goodness.
So he escorted the dudes down to an ambulance, and the ranger later spoke to the supposed dead person, who was very much alive and with it. And he said, I ain't dead. And he said, I could see that. Are you okay? 100%. Well, your buddies seem to think that you passed.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
That's not news I would like to get.
Absolutely not. And I can't say that that's a weird thing. That makes total sense that someone would do that camping, because you just encounter strange people, you know? They're out there to connect with the woods.
Yeah, well, if that's the case, I'm packing heat.
Yeah, good call.
and a lot of it coming from our nation's capital. And joining us is CBS's Christopher Cruz. Christopher, good morning.
Hi, Larry. I haven't talked to you.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin, or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You since Italy.
Yes, it's been a while. Appreciate you joining me. I know there is never a single day where there isn't big news out of our nation's capital. So a couple of stories, certainly the tariff and the talk about the international court saying that the tariffs, most of them, are illegal. And then, of course, Elon Musk's days at Doge have ended fairly unceremoniously. So you pick. Where do you want to start?
Well, I was thinking when I heard about Musk on X saying, you know, I'm done with Doge. This Frank Sinatra song, That's Life. He says, so you're riding high in April and shot down in May. And I think that's kind of what's going on with Musk. He came in, he made a frontal attack on the bureaucracy. I'm a retired federal employee, and I was in the Army, and I think I understand big bureaucracies. And they're masters at the art of jujitsu. So when you attack them, they know how to deflect. They know how to basically, you know, wait you out. And I think Musk, with his the chainsaw wielding incident, when I saw that, I said that's the beginning of the end for this guy. He made, I think, the cardinal sin in Washington: never embarrass your principal. In other words, if you're a staff member, don't embarrass the senator or the congressman or the president. And I think that that's essentially what happened to this guy: is he embarrassed Trump, he hurt Trump's polling numbers, and it was just a matter of time before Musk and frankly his board of directors said, you need to come back to Tesla. Tesla was and still is in dire financial straits as a result of Musk's bad impression here in Washington.
Yes, due to his bold stance for Doge, his company suffered tremendously. In fact, he had to deal with protests and even violence. That said, now that he steps away, who steps in that role? Do we have any idea?
My guess is that Doge is dead in the water. I can't imagine that it polls well. And to cut federal spending is a difficult thing, at least on the bureaucracy. Now, obviously, the president is cutting the number of federal employees, and that has a great effect on federal spending. But the question ultimately is long-term what happens. Is there fraud and abuse in the system? Obviously, there is. But to create an extra governmental entity to kind of deal with that, and frankly, the bureaucracy, I mean, even President Eisenhower used to complain about the bureaucracy. My guess is that every president has complained about the bureaucracy, and it's only grown, of course, since Lyndon Johnson. So my guess is that we're going to increasingly hear little and little and little more about Doge.
All right, that said, let's turn to tariffs. This is significant. The U.S. Trade Court has ruled that Donald Trump's tariffs, most of them, in their belief, is illegal.
Well, President Trump basically predicated his imposition of tariffs is essentially taking from Congress the power to impose tariffs. If you look at Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, it says that the Congress has the power to, quote, lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises, and that includes tariffs. Trump has said that the trade deficit is essentially an emergency, which allows him to take away that power from Congress and impose it on his own. But the fact is that the U.S. has run a trade deficit with the rest of the world for 49 consecutive years. And so basically this, it's now, next year it'll be 100 years since the U.S. Court of International Trade has been established. It's a specialized court like military courts, and it decides disputes over customs and international trade laws. And it is essentially, a three-judge panel has essentially stepped in and said to the president, your citing of the trade deficit as an emergency doesn't fly here. It's been imposed. It's been in effect, the deficits, as I said, for 49 consecutive years. So that three-judge panel said that's not sufficient to allow you to take away from Congress the power to impose tariffs.
Right away, there's an appeal, as you would expect. And what's the general thinking? Will this stick, the rule of this court, or is there a chance that it could be overturned?
A few months ago, I would have thought that the Supreme Court would overturn, but I think that the Supreme Court as an institution is seeing that it is under attack. Stephen Miller tweeted, the president's deputy chief of staff, I think it was this morning, he said the judicial coup, he called it a judicial coup. And ultimately, just as when you attack the bureaucracy head on, when you attack federal judges and the judiciary system head on, at some point that judiciary is going to rise up. And I think many people don't really understand that the Supreme Court is a separate part of the government. It's not under Trump. It's not under a Congress. And it is going to assert its authority. Sometimes it's dominated by the president. But after a certain period of time, it's going to say, look, you know, we're not under you. We are our own masters. And I don't know this. The Supreme Court tends to defer to the decisions of these specialized courts. We'll see. It's going to go immediately to the Court of Appeals. And then my guess is the Supreme Court is going to hear this case pretty quickly.
Christopher, always appreciate your time and insight, and thank you for your service to our country.
Well, thank you, sir. Always great to be on KDKA.
Appreciate it. Christopher Cruz of CBS in our nation's capital.
Ski and White News Desk. The Heron Avenue Bridge is closed until further notice after an inspection found the bridge is deficient.
They found the deterioration a lot sooner, and they prevented another Fern Hollow.
That is the voice of Olga George, Mayor Ganey's press secretary, reacting to the emergency closure. And my first thought was, you know, if it's that dangerous, you got to do it, as uncomfortable it is for so many.
You were just talking about this topic moments ago. Last night, the U.S. Court of International Trade ruled President Donald Trump exceeded his authority by imposing tariffs on almost every nation. Frank Lanvin is a former Undersecretary for International Trade.
This really diminishes the leverage he has, and I suspect that he will not be successful on appeal. He doesn't really have the legal authority to impose these tariffs.
And that is the legal question. The Trump administration now appealing. They're saying the ruling impacts negotiations that are underway with other nations.
So the question for all of us is, well, what happens next? We did see the market soar after that news was released.
And then Paul Skeens was brilliant. He tossed a shutout at Arizona on Wednesday.
Skeens goes 6 2/3, 95 pitches, four-hit shutout ball, and a lot of Pirate fans and a lot of D-back fans appreciate watching this young man work.
Boy, I'll tell you, Greg Brown brings up a good point. Opposing fans are loving watching Paul Skeens, even though he's, in some cases, making their team, their players look silly.
I know his girlfriend was in the stands, but also you saw a number of people who were at the game standing up to applaud him when he walked off the field. It was impressive. And today's his, what, 23rd birthday, right?
It is. 23 years old. He's got the world in front of him and this team on his shoulders. And hopefully we're seeing, you know, since Don Kelly took over, just a little bit of energy. I mean, all the players are the same. But we're still, I sense there's something different.
Well, they're a lot more watchable. I think the games are more entertaining to watch. That's for one. And two, I don't know where their record is right now under Kelly, but it's much improved, right?
It's almost 500 at this point since he took over. And they're still on the road. Obviously, we got PNC Park occupied tonight with the Jelly Roll Post Malone show. I know you'll be there, Paul, in the mosh pit.
I'll be checking out the inside of my eyelids about that time.
Oh, I get it. But these shows in the stadiums in Pittsburgh have done very, very well. And in case you didn't hear, speaking of the stadiums, George Strait and Chris Stapleton Saturday night at Acrisure, but they have to cancel the Billy Joel and Rod Stewart concert because of Billy Joel's health concerns.
It's a brain disorder that I would have trouble repeating. I've read a little bit about it. You know, Larry, I was just thinking, in the time that I've been here, I can't recall a concert season like the one we have upcoming. This might be the golden age of summer concerts in Pittsburgh.
A lot of great shows. Now, I doubt they'll be able to reschedule for the summer, but that's not necessarily true for Billy Joel and Rod Stewart at Acrisure. But I feel certainly his health is foremost, and if he's unable to perform, you kind of get that. That said, I want to go back to this Elon Musk story. It's not a complete shock that he stepped away.
Well, he said he would.
Yeah, at some point.
At the very beginning, he said it was going to be around 100 and some days.
And that's just right? about what he did do. Although he has, you know, his company, Tesla, he has the SpaceX, he has a lot of other things to do. And I asked CBS's Christopher Cruz if somebody else might step into that role. He didn't think so because he kind of went through the process.
But the statements that Musk is posting about leaving, you know, refer to the ongoing work of Doge.
So will somebody else famous?
Yeah. Is there another person that's going to step in, or is there going to be a team of people, or is, or, you know, I don't know.
I think if you asked, in my opinion, anybody that would say, yeah, we got to cut some fat out of a lot of the government at every level, federal, state, you know, there's a lot of work to do. Mm-hmm. But the way he went about doing it caused a lot of concern and issues that went above and beyond. So you lost track of the facts where innocent people were getting hurt in the process too. And that's where, you know, with the chainsaw thing became this iconic moment in his Doge role.
If I understand it correctly, during the Clinton administration, the two terms of the Clinton administration, between 350 and 400,000 federal workers were furloughed or fired. Now, that didn't all happen dramatically in one intense period of time, like what happened here. I don't know what the total number is on Doge. The last one I saw was around 50 to 60,000. So it's there's been a tremendous amount of coverage of this and from all angles. But what I think has been that's been missing from some of the reporting, at least, is perspective. You know, for example, one of the stories was they wanted to return a department to the 2019 levels of staffing. That their argument was that there was a sharp up ramp in staffing over a period of several years, and they wanted to bring it back, just to bring the department back to the size that it had been in 2019. Now that, to me, doesn't sound as bad as, you know, draconian cuts and, you know, what have you. So I'm among those who wants to get it into historical perspective what happened. And I also want to know if there's someone like you. I'm very curious to know if this Department of Government Efficiency is going to continue in some way, shape, or fashion.
Well, who can take that role and do it in a way that's less caustic and more surgical and precision, like to really trim the fat? Yeah. But it will
probably take an insider. It'd probably take someone in Washington who's more of an insider, perhaps, I think.
Well, there are a lot of unanswered questions about the impact of all of these things. And now with the court stepping in and stopping this and that, there's a lot to sort through.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.